Welcome to B2B Bites Back, the B2B social media podcast. I'm Luke Brinney-Jones and I'm here with Helen Sharp.
Hello.
And today we're talking about how to drive engagement in B2B social media. So a huge topic for anybody in B2B social media. So we're going to dive into some questions around this in a minute, but really the focus of the podcast is going to be on two amazing interviews that we've done. One with Kunal Gandhi, who is Global Social Media Lead at PwC, and the other with Jake Potter, who is Head of Social Media at Colt Technology Services. And both of them have done some amazing work in the past year that we wanted to highlight and draw out. So
I'm super excited because I think, yeah, they're some really good speakers today.
Exactly. So, but first, before we get into those and the detail, and we'll sort of interrogate those afterwards as well, let's just look at the topic that we've got today. So why are we bothered about B2B social media engagement, Helen?
I mean, why wouldn't we be? It's huge, and it can mean, you know, it can be the difference between success and nothing, and it can give you competitor advantage. I think really thinking about, and the theme of today is going to be a lot around relationship building and, you know, learning about your customers, really giving them value at every stage. It's huge.
It's huge. But then it does have people in the industry, and I'm sure there are people listening whose bosses perhaps initially might not care that much about engagement.
A bit cynical
or a bit focused on the, let's say, the end of the funnel. I want to get some sales, I want to get some leads.
Yeah,
and
course.
The B2B mindset is often very much focused around sales rather than kind of brand marketing and things like that. So, you know, why? How do we get them from one state of mind to another? You know, what's the key points to raise?
Yeah, I think it's really thinking about, you know, where we've come. And if we look at, I mean, we were having a conversation earlier, and it's amazing the difference, the journey that social media has been on. New technology, the pace has been huge and it's only going to accelerate. So we need to be always thinking about, you know, who are our customers? Who are we trying to reach? How are they using social media? Because actually, if we go at them with hard hitting sales messages, that's not going to cut it on platforms like LinkedIn, where they're there to learn and, you know, grow their networks and understanding. It's just going to land terribly.
Yeah. So there's a fact that actually we're all human. We're all, you know, looking at social media for insights and useful information that's going to help us, you know, promote our services and products. But it has to be stuff that resonates with us.
It does. Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think there's this huge importance now for brands to connect with their customers and really kind of understand what it is that keeps them up at night, and not just saying, well, we've got a solution. It's actually addressing the problem that they've got. And then with subtle messages and things and building that relationship, building a community. And actually, when you bring communities together, they can learn from each other. And that's actually very powerful as well, if you can host those kinds of environments.
Yeah, and we've talked about communities before on various talks and things. But in terms of this conversation as well, I was looking back and thinking, you know, 5 years ago, if we'd have had this conversation, it would have been very tactical. We'd be looking at, you know, when should you post? What should the formats be? What hashtags would you use?
Yeah.
It was all very much kind of organic focused.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously now there's paid is a big part of it, and we shouldn't discount that. I mean, that's the other alternative that people would often say, why don't you just put money to paid instead of driving organic engagement?
Yeah, and it's something, you know, we would never shy away from encouraging people if they've got really great content. I think that's the difference as well. You don't just want to be promoting anything. It's got to be of value. And I think when we're not using paid, because often the budgets aren't there, especially if you think of the last couple of years, a lot of businesses have had to redeploy budgets. They've had to really kind of scale back on a lot of what they do. So organic, there's definitely a place for organic. And I think, yes, we always say, you know, absolutely, pay to play, you have to kind of invest a little bit. But if you're not nurturing those organic channels, what's the point? You know, it's not credible. You don't look authentic if it's only stuff you're putting out that's going to be paid.
Yeah, and I think the other big argument that our ads team certainly bang on about is if you're promoting, you know, bad quality content, content that isn't insightful, you'll pay more for it, and the algorithm will harm your reach organically as well.
Yeah, and it'll hugely damage your reputation with your customers as well, because if you're putting out crap, it's not going to land, and it's people see right through it.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of data out there that people are still putting out crap and advertising it, but it's not the best approach we would suggest.
No.
So I guess the other thing is what's happened in the last few years is there are many more opportunities with B2B social as well. So, you know, the whole rise of advocacy, influencer marketing coming into B2B, social exec comms, which we talk a lot about as well, leveraging your senior execs. And then the other one being channel choice.
Yeah. Massive now. And we've seen, you know, B2B brands experimenting and actually doing really well on platforms like TikTok, which again, a couple of years ago, you'd suggest that to a B2B marketer and they'd kind of retract and say, you mad? That's a dancing trends platform for kids, which, you know,
it's
not. I've actually got on TikTok recently for personal use and I've learned so much. I've recently got into photography, so I've learned so much from it, and there's just so many opportunities, and you have to go. And actually Kwai Chi, who we spoke to at our DigiConf, he was saying that there are brands that do it really well, and he talked about Adobe, Grammarly, Shopify. Like, they're meeting their customers where they are. And I think there's this misconception about, you know, younger audiences. Well, they're not our customers at the moment, but they will be one day. So it's all about kind of getting to them now, building that loyalty. And again, it comes back to the relationship.
Exactly. Okay. Well, look, yeah, that works. And actually, you've stolen some of the thunder from Jake Potter, one of our guests who's on. But yeah, first of all, let's go to Kunal Gandhi.
Okay, so I'm delighted to be joined now by Kunal Gandhi, who is the global social media leader at PwC. Kunal, great to have you on B2B Bites Back.
Thanks for having me on, Luke.
Great stuff. So, I mean, our topic today is how to drive engagement in B2B social media. We're exploring this with a few guests and digging into ourselves as well. But I saw some videos that PwC had done, that really sort of stuck out for me as really engaging, refreshing ways of kind of showcasing senior execs and driving engagement. So that was really what drew me to you, and I'd like to dig into that in a minute. But before we get into that, can you just tell us a bit about your role and remit?
Yeah, sure. So as you said, I'm global social media leader at PwC. So I set and oversee the global social media strategy across our social channels. So my team kind of also looks after executive positioning for key leaders, as well as kind of more wider global employee advocacy. And with PwC being an organization that operates in 155 different countries, we also work in service to the global PwC network in providing kind of best practice guidance, advice and support for the territory social media teams that we have based across kind of the world. So a lot of different areas that we operate in.
Yeah, so you're kind of like an agency within the company there.
Pretty much.
Yeah, good stuff. You know how it is then. You know how we work. tell us a bit more about those specific videos, because I think it was one of your senior execs who just joined in Europe. And what I saw was a kind of really nice, well-made video, but also showing their daily life, and it felt really authentic. What was the story behind that, and how did you go about creating them?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been working in social for more than a decade now, and one thing that I've seen and experienced kind of firsthand throughout the years is how much most corporates struggle with the ability to humanize their people in an effective way that engages the audience. And that's especially people who are in kind of senior leadership positions. So one of our key objectives was to kind of look at leaders in the organization who were taking up new roles and, you know, using that new role as the hook to introduce them to an audience in a way that allows people to get to know a bit better and make it a bit more engaging. And also, like, just show them as a normal person, as opposed to just being somebody who is in a senior leadership position that, you know, people can't always relate to, and kind of bringing a bit more down to earth and going, actually, they're just like everyone else. And given how kind of saturated social platforms are with content, we thought, you know, this would be a great way to kind of try and cut through a lot of that noise and create something that's a bit more different and impactful. And, you know, using video to tell that story really felt like the most natural option, given the importance of that format on social and how it can help to bring those things to life. And, you know, we really wanted to make sure that we combined the humanization of that person with some really nice storytelling to keep the audience engaged. And so, like you say, you know, it was one of those things with those videos, right? So it was introducing the person is narrating their own story. They've kind of given that first person objective, but you are seeing them in more than just a work environment. You're seeing them outside of that work environment. And it really helps to kind of just, you know, build a familiarity with that person, because especially when you're following people on social media, a lot of the times you'll build an idea of who somebody is just based on the content that you see from them, but you don't sometimes know what they sound like. All you know of what they look like is from the thumbnail of their picture. And actually, this could be, you know, we thought this could be a great way to introduce somebody who's a new leader, you know, to our audiences, but in a way that kind of also helps to kind of kickstart their personal brand in a way that's like when they share other things going forward, you know, they can share things that will help to build that authority and that credibility. And this was just kind of a bit more of a catalyst to kind of push towards that. So it worked really well for us from all of those perspectives, but also from the kind of, you know, the engagement perspective that we got, how many kind of reactions and all the other kind of, you know, there may be more vanity metrics, but the kind of the reception that it got from people, but also more importantly, I think for us, the positive feedback that we got from people inside and outside the company as an example of really great visual corporate storytelling, it definitely helped us achieve that objective for sure.
Yeah, I noticed lots of nice comments, and that sort of internal audience is almost as important when you're doing something like this, isn't it? It's sort of leveraging the reach that you've got of all of your consultants and experts and thought leaders as well. So you really got some fantastic reach and engagement.
Yeah, that's really true. Like one of the things, you know, within our organization, we have 327,000 people who work for PwC. So actually our LinkedIn channel, as much as it is an external platform out there, it's a great kind of pseudo internal network for us in a way for us to get to our whole global network at one time, something that we want to get to. So they're a core part of that audience as well as the external audience. And it does so many different things from kind of humanize the leader and show their leadership to what we do as a business, the sort of people we have in those positions, what we stand for and what we believe in. And that definitely transcends just our people and kind of applies to kind of, you know, a lot more of the things that our clients and customers and everybody else see as well. So it's a really important factor that cuts across all of that.
Yeah, and you mentioned the sort of personal branding aspect of this, and you know what we would call now sort of exec comms, you know, driving the person and building the personal channels, especially on LinkedIn and maybe Twitter and others of senior execs. How do you see that sort of combining to help build the company's channels and grow the engagement levels on the company channels?
I think it's really important, and I think it's been an important factor for some time, but it's becoming even more important as time goes on. Like ultimately, you know, I think within every word of like in every marketing kind of situation we have, word of mouth marketing is the most important type of marketing, and people buy from people. And so having our executives, and not just necessarily our executives, but all of our colleagues and employees kind of, you know, use and build their personal brand to showcase what our organization is doing and what they stand for and what they believe in, I think is so important to the kind of the halo effect that has on the organization. And I think for us within PwC, we've definitely kind of got a number of different leaders that we do that with, including our global chairman, Bob, is a great example of that, you know, where he uses his profile a great deal. But I think the key thing that you need to have for success in that is you need to have leaders who are bought into that practice and making sure that they want to own their own profile and do things on their own profile. There's only so far you can go with having a support team and everyone else doing it for you. But if that leader is not properly engaged in it, then that's going to be really hard to kind of sustain. And I think that's a really important thing that you need to have leaders. And that's one thing that I think we're really lucky with at PwC, where we've got leaders who understand the value of social media, but also the value of them being kind of really bought into doing it and then playing their own contribution to that.
Yeah, absolutely. What's Bob's full name, just in case anybody wants to look him up and see his profile?
It's Bob Moritz. So you'll find him on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll look him up and see how he combines with the corporate channels. Just moving us on a bit, just thinking more broadly around driving engagement, are there any sort of specific topics or formats of content that you find drive the highest level of engagement? And again, I'm probably thinking about LinkedIn especially, but maybe Twitter and some extent Facebook and other channels.
Yeah, I mean, we found success with a variety of different formats and topics, but it's not just the format alone that dictates a success. It's making sure that you combine the format on a social platform with some content that is genuinely insightful and interesting. And that can be really challenging in a B2B world, because some things have a boring reputation in a B2B world more broadly, but there are still a lot of interesting things that you need to find a way to take the boring and make it look interesting. And I think for us, that's definitely a case where, you know, what we found is, you know, we found things that, you know, there may be articles and things where you say, actually, you know, this is just a really simple written piece, but we really bring it to life by leveraging the interesting pieces of those content and figuring out, for example, on LinkedIn, what formats could really help to tell this story. So we've done things, for example, with our Women in Work Index, where it was a really good example of a fantastic report with lots of different takeaways. And we used different formats like multi-images, carousels, animated GIFs to kind of really bring to life some of the key findings and serving those findings within the platform. I think that's a really another important thing. I think a lot of the times within B2B, sometimes the content that we're sharing is so nuanced. Sometimes it's like, we can't explain the whole story here. Here's a link to a website, go and find out more. And that does make sense. And you do want to travel, take people on, but you have to remember audiences' behaviors on social platforms. They want to be served that content within the feed. So try and give them something within the feed that is engaging, just in case they're not going to make that onward journey. So I think for us, there's definitely a case of, you know, it's that combination of finding the right topic, but finding the right format. And in terms of playing the algorithm, I think you have to be quite careful with it, because I think there are some really, you know, there's real low hanging fruit on LinkedIn with things like, if you do a poll, you'll get more reach, like, you know, because of just how that poll works. But actually the reality is that, like, if you try to play the algorithm in that way, you can lose sight of it not matching to your social strategy, and you're just doing it for the reach. And that's not going to, in the long term, help have the halo effect on your engagement and your followership if it's not the things that you want to be known for. So I think it's getting the balance right between the two.
Yeah, it can negatively impact if you play it too much, and it comes across as cynical perhaps as well to your audience. I think that's exactly. Definitely been the case with polls in the last year or so. Digging into that a little bit then, I mean, are there any specific posts that spring to mind that you guys have put out where you think, yeah, we really got it right with that? We, you know, we matched a really engaging piece of content with a great format to drive engagement.
Yeah, I think a few of the ones that have worked for us really well, where I think we really nailed everything from the type of content it is to the format in which we've shared it, is we started to do quite a few different things around the metaverse. And we know that the metaverse is quite broadly just a hot topic on social anyway. And we wanted to find the link between, okay, it's a great topic, but what's PwC's role in that? How can it make sense for us to kind of share a piece of content on that? And we had some great content that was created by one of our teams, which looked at kind of how businesses can prepare for the metaverse. And so, you know, there was a great written piece that was, you know, probably a 5 or 6 minute read that we kind of digested into different chunks. And we took out different pieces of advice from each bit and created each one into separate social posts that we could kind of get onto our platforms. And one of the ones that kind of is probably one of our most popular posts is one where we shared like 6 tips for businesses to get ready for the metaverse era. And we shared it in 2 different ways. We shared it once as like a carousel or like a document on LinkedIn, where you kind of go through each tip. And the other way that we shared it was as a multi-image on LinkedIn. So it was a bit of a mosaic effect where you've kind of got all the tips within that key asset. So when people read it, they can see it. And it kind of, from what I can remember, it broke our records in terms of the amount of likes it got on our global channel, the amount of engagement it got, the amount of shares it had. And we really started to look at that sort of stuff and kind of look back at it and go, okay, what worked well here? And it was just every piece of that element, you know, the format was great, the content was great, how we shared the content was great. People really kind of bought into that. That sort of worked really well. And so that is a really good example of something that we did where I don't think people would expect PwC to be talking about things like metaverse and that sort of stuff. And it really helped us to kind of shift what we're sharing, but sharing it in a way that really helped to kind of, I think, set us apart.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a topic certainly where there's been a really strong appetite for genuine insight for a while. And so I think if you've managed to provide that and do it in a format where people can get that within the social channels, you say, without having to click through to a secondary platform or whatever, that's the real goal, isn't it? So I think that may have helped with that. So fantastic. That was a great example. We've got to wrap up in a minute, but before we go, I just want to ask you what your top tip is or top tips are for increasing engagement in B2B social.
Yeah, so in terms of kind of increasing engagement in B2B social, I think it's hard to have just one top tip. So I'll try and give you 3, which are all kind of linked, but I'll try and keep them all quite short. So the first one I'll have is your copy and creative are important variables of success. So like one common theme on social media that links every single person is attention. Every piece of content is battling for your attention. And even though we may operate in a B2B world, We are operating on the same platforms against B2C companies and everyone else, and we're following everyone at the same time. So we need to make sure that we don't lose sight of that in what we're trying to do. And having something insightful or interesting is great as a piece of content, but it's not on its own, it's not enough. If you're not using engaging copy or great creative to tell that story, you may not be making the impact you think. So that first tip is definitely, think hard about creating great copy and great creative and how that can work to drive your content. The second tip I'd have is data-driven insight also being a great route to success. Using the data that you have available to you to see the impact that your content is having and using that to generate insight you can apply in the future is so, so important in you kind of, pushing things to the next level. And it sounds quite obvious, but I've seen kind of many teams and organizations in years gone by who have kind of, they're kind of institutionalized into a bit of a set and forget mentality, where they're so focused on pushing content out that they forget once it's been scheduled or once it's been posted to look back and see how it did, because they have so much more coming up that they've got to now try and get out again. And taking the time to, look back, see how things have done so that you don't potentially make mistakes and you do lean on the things that worked well again is really, really important. And we do this a lot at PwC, where we have like monthly retrospectives where we look at what worked on our channels, what didn't work, the reasons why it didn't work, and the learnings we should take forward. And they have been so vital for us to kind of continue to push the boundaries. So I'd definitely say kind of, don't underestimate the value of data-driven insight and how that can work for success. And the final tip that I'd just give is to invest in your social media team and resource it with enough bandwidth that truly allows them to hone their skills and innovate. And I know that can be quite difficult depending on the size of the business you are and the sort of budgets that you may have. But the reality is that I think social media teams are often the most under-resourced teams in a business. And you can often have one or two people doing everything from writing the social copy to doing the graphic design to analyzing the results. And people don't often appreciate how much that person is doing. And something's got to give. And when that is the case, and when you have few people working on things, you're not going to have the opportunity to innovate. Creating and generating engagement and bettering that engagement is not always going to be a priority. The priority is just going to be getting the content out. And there are, all those skill sets that you have in social media, they're all different skill sets. So if resource allows, you should try and hire people for each of those skill sets, and that team can work together to innovate and generate engagement. So it's kind of those three things wrapped up together. It's copy and creative, data-driven insight, and investing in the team.
Yeah, great, great insights that I would echo. And certainly, I think a team that is multi-skilled and has the capacity to do great social in B2B, but also, as you say, does those retrospectives, looks at the data, drives, their sort of performance forward based on data, is a really mature kind of team, I would say. So definitely something we would espouse and echo. So thank you, Colonel. That's fantastic. Really fantastic insights. Thank you so much for joining us on B2B Bites Back. Colonel Gandhi, Global Social Media Leader at PwC. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Luke. It's been great.
Well, I thought that was great. I think I could listen to Kunal for a lot longer than that. I know that was just a very short snippet of all his amazing insight that he's got. But I think so many things from that. And, I was jotting down all these notes because I think so many things that we can really relate to, obviously in the job that we do, but as actual, users of social media as well. And I think the exec comms piece, when he was talking around the visual corporate storytelling, and actually this idea of the ecosystem, and the employees have these amazing networks of relevant people. So how can a brand tap into that in a non-invasive way? And it just makes sense. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, and the idea of, I wrote down as well, the combination of high quality video, which obviously resonates a lot at the moment, and it's the primary kind of medium that we use, with storytelling. So actually telling a story that's of interest and draws people in, and then the first person approach. And having seen the videos that he puts out, that's what it does.
Yeah.
It just matches all of those, ticks all the boxes in terms of what drives engagement.
Yeah.
Today.
And it supports that, the human approach. Nothing is more human than using the people at your company to elevate the messages and speak authentically about things and about the industry, not just about the company.
Yeah, the idea of, he mentioned building familiarity with their senior execs as well, which if you've got those leaders in the business and you want customers to feel like they know them, that's
the way
an
to
amazing
do it.
Way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah. I think as well, on the flip side, it actually helps with buy-in. for a social media program internally, if you've got the senior execs, they're going to feel involved, and then that's going to have a knock-on effect and cascade throughout the organization. So, you know, if you've got, you know, whether you've just got 100 people or 3,000 people, 300,000, like PwC, you know, that's, it's a huge amount of people that you can, yeah, you can really make some magic with.
There are metrics out there. I can't remember exactly what they are now, but the, you know, if you leverage your customers, you get times 10 the organic reach, or the reach that you get on your normal social channels. So there's metrics out there, but also, yeah, as Kunal said, you know, exec comms is becoming more important as time goes on. So we've seen this in the past couple of years.
We have, just
you know, that the channels of your senior people not quite eclipsing the corporate channels, but that may be something on the horizon.
I think so. And I think from an algorithm perspective, personal profiles will always trump company pages. They're always going to be prioritized by the platform because they're real people. And as much as you can tap into that, the better.
Yeah. And then I guess the other one that really jumped out at me was the really succinct way that he summed up how he drives engagement on the channel. So finding a genuine insight. And I think you could probably cut out 95% of B2B corporate content.
Yeah, probably more than that.
One fell swoop. And then secondly, matching it to the right format for that content. And again, you know, smart use of PDF sliders, videos, polls, etc. Could, you know, that's the holy grail, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, you know, what he was saying, what we always say about data-driven content, because if you're reviewing what's working, what's not working, you can then go forward and change things. So if you know that the consumer loves those kind of carousel pieces of content, you can then say, right, okay, that really works for that. Or if it's a particular industry, you know that a video is going to work really well. Or if it's a certain audience member, that's what you're going to put in front of them because you know that's what they're going to engage with.
Yeah, that's it. And it actually chimed with obviously what we do here at OST. Part of our process is making sure that we're, you know, tagging content by topic, platform, etc. in the back end of our social media tool, and then looking at the metrics and slicing and dicing by that. And by doing that, you know, content pillar approach, you can systematically drive, well, leverage the engagement that you're already driving and build on it.
Yeah, and learn from the audience. And I think, you know, Kunal raised an amazing point around polls. And I think I'm personally sick of seeing polls just being put up from brands that have no correlation to what they do, what their audience are interested in. It's literally, they're just doing it to get some votes and get some engagement. But actually, if there's an authentic one that, you know, I want to have an opinion on it, I want to put my two cents in, and, you know, I will, because it's genuine to me and it speaks to me. But if it doesn't, I'll just keep scrolling.
Yeah, we'll put a poll out about polls later on, so please engage with that. So yeah, I mean, overall, I found it really insightful. It was great to hear him say at the end as well, you know, one of his top tips was around investing in the social media team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, certainly over the years that has increased and we've seen that happening. But I think what's happened in the last couple of years especially, companies have realised the value of social and
100%.
That humanisation when you haven't got the face-to-face opportunities.
Exactly. And I know a great social media agency as well. One thing actually, just to finish on Kunal's interview, was around the attention piece. So how B2B content is very much battling with consumer content. So just making sure all the time you're thinking, how is this going to compete? Because otherwise it will just get lost.
Yeah, and that was it. And he mentions that in relation to great copy. And you kind of think, you know, when you're writing a post, do you really see that this is going up against, you know, Innocent Smoothies is the old example, you know, is it going to compete against those guys?
Is that going to stop them scrolling?
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, what's the point? Why are you doing it?
Yeah, there you go. Good. Right, well, let's move on from that interview. It's fascinating. Right, so let's move on to Jake Potter, who is head of social media at Colt Technology Services. So Jake has spoken at DigiConf before. He's full of insights, and we've talked before about exec comms and employee advocacy with him. But this time I was really interested because I'd seen he was operating on TikTok. So for a B2B company, that just piqued my interest. So let's go to Jake.
Yeah, so My name is Jake Potter. I'm head of social media at Cult Technology Services, and I've been at Cult for 5 years now. Cult is a global B2B brand that works in a digital infrastructure business, helping enterprises connect around the world and helping their employees connect and connect into the cloud as well. But more on me, I suppose. I started at Cult in 2017 as their first ever social media manager. And through trying a lot of kind of agile approaches, trying lots of new things and lots of optimizations over the years, I've managed to grow from social media manager to head of social media. And I've got a team of myself and two other people. We're small, but we're mighty, and we cover social media globally, from organic, employee advocacy, paid, and some influencer management as well.
Love that. Small but mighty. I mean, you know, social media teams are often kind of teams of one, aren't they? So it's
yeah.
Got some help in there. So let's jump in, because something you've mentioned to me, which I fell off my chair and then pulled myself back from, was that you're jumping to TikTok. So just tell us the rationale behind that and how it's going.
I think when you work in social media, this is a line I'm stealing from someone's presentation I once went to, but when you work in social media, you go to bed an expert and you're going to wake up the next day a novice. I still don't know anything about Be Real, as an example, new social media platform, and there are new platforms all the time coming up. And I think it's good to look at the channels that are coming up and evaluating if they're right for your business. Now, if you spoke to another B2B company and said, do you think TikTok's right for your business, you might get the answer no, which is what I got when I was trying to get this information from other people. But I found that what Cult does is we're providing the internet, and everyone uses the internet. This conversation's happening thanks to the internet, but no one actually knows how to do it. And I felt that there was an area where we can educate people and entertain them at the same time, and ultimately grow our brand awareness, get people to know who we are. And then hopefully later down the line, we've been on TikTok for 7 months now, hopefully later down the line, we'll see more leads coming in, more sales being generated as well.
So that's fascinating. The education piece, I get that 100%. But in terms of the actual audience, so are you finding a B2B audience? Are you finding people who, you know, businesses effectively who could use your services?
We're finding a mix in our audience. So it is a lot of Gen Z people, which aren't our natural kind of customer, because our customer tends to be a CTO. But TikTok is made up of 50% Gen Z people, and then the other 50% is everyone else. So we are finding that we're getting follows from other B2B businesses, people who could be potential customers, and also people who are C-level who happen to be on TikTok as well. But we are looking at our audience in different ways with TikTok. I think when you work in social media, everyone tells you all about how we need to be delivering leads, leads, leads. And actually, your social media channel is a window into your business. People are looking at you not just as a potential customer, but as a potential employer, potential partner. So this window needs to cover a little bit more than lead generation, in my view. So that's why we're using TikTok, so we have that ability to be a little bit more fun.
So multiple audiences there. You can keep the HR people on side a bit with that as well. And then, but it's partly the cool kid factor, isn't it? I mean, to what extent is that driving this ambition?
I do want Cult to look like the cool kid. I'm not going to lie. If you look at telecoms on social media, in general, you're not going to see the most exciting social media channels. Even the B2C brands don't have that exciting social media channels. And I look at companies like Monzo, which is B2C, but Monzo, and they are super fun. And I am a Monzo customer, and the main reason I'm a Monzo customer is because I relate to them, and they speak like I do. And so I just think there's this huge opportunity to speak like the way your audience speaks. And all these different audiences, even if they're Gen Z and are unlikely to be a customer now, they're probably going to be your customer in the future. So we need to learn to speak like them anyway. And I want Cult to be that cool kid that's already speaking like the people who are going to be our future customers.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, you've sold me. How are you selling it to the boardroom? I mean, who's buying into it there?
Everyone's buying into it, I found. The first reason we went on TikTok is actually because someone at our executive leadership level said to me, I'd like to see Cult on TikTok. And my brain just went to like white noise because I had no idea what I was going to do. But beyond that, I'm selling it to the, everyone around the business that we are educating, and you can share this with you can share this with your leads, you can share it with your friends. Everyone can learn how the internet works and what it's like to work in this environment as well. And people are getting on board with it. And I think we do have the little benefit of TikTok to a lot of people is very confusing. It's a completely different social network to what we know. So a lot of people think, how cool, the company I work for is on TikTok and they've got loads of followers. And that's really, really cool. So we are lucky in that sense as well, because it makes us look forward thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do we find you? Is it just Cult Technology?
Yeah, Cult _ Technology.
Cult _, right. Okay, good stuff. We'll look out there. And the other thing, I mean, I wanted to jump in with you, because I know you've done lots of work on, is employee advocacy and kind of how that can foster engagement and drive your kind of organic reach. How are you working there?
So we've been doing employee advocacy probably since I started at Cult, and I can remember when I first started doing it, there was hardly any resources out there to tell me what to do, probably like when we launched on TikTok. And I was contacting companies like LinkedIn to ask for help, and LinkedIn ended up looking towards me for help because I'd created this framework, that, which is all about enabling people to use social network in a way that helps them with their goals. So I speak to salespeople, I speak to HR people, I try and get them to speak in the language of their potential customer. And that's probably the really key thing, I would say, is speaking to people in their language. So if I'm speaking to a salesperson, I talk about money. If I'm talking to the HR people about sharing stuff about recruitment, I'm talking about candidate applications, which I suppose to them is like a monetary goal well. And we're doing really well with it. We are seeing hundreds and hundreds of shares of our content via an employee advocacy tool. But we're also seeing on LinkedIn even more shares being done natively, either organically, they've written their own content, which after 5 years, I'm starting to see a lot more of, but also people just resharing our LinkedIn content as well, but adding a message to go with it, because that's my biggest thing, is please don't share a post, not add a sentence. So yeah, we're doing really well, I'd say, and really getting a message out there on social media.
Great, sounds positive. And in terms of the kinds of content that people are sharing, you know, obviously personalizing, but sharing. Yeah. Is there something that kind of floats their boat more than others, particular topics or styles or
In the beginning, it used to be just Cult content, because people felt most confident sharing stuff about the brand. And as time's gone on, I've started asking people, who do you follow on social media? What kind of content do they share? Do they just talk about themselves, or are they talking about other areas for content as well? And quite often they say, yeah, they're not just talking about the product they have to sell, they're talking about the industry they work within. So I've been really driving this message, well, okay, if they talk about the industry they work within, do you think you should be doing it as well? And as time's gone on, we're starting to see almost a 50-50 split between the Cult branded content going out and third party content. So we focus on really key publications in telecommunications around the world, and we're just seeing tons of shares, because people can see that if you're a salesperson trying to sell a connectivity solution, if you're just saying, here's a Cult product and isn't it brilliant, that's not going to excite your leads. But here's something about 5G that's been launched in like a island in the middle of nowhere. 5G is now there. This is how it's happened. That's going to excite your audience and also think, oh, hey, this person knows what they're talking about, or at least they're researching what they're talking about as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how do you get people into that sort of program, and how do you motivate them to be sharing and creating?
A bit of motivation comes from trying to cause a little competition. So I will say to people, hey, look at this person. They're sharing loads. Look how many likes they get. And I will also say to them, do you think they're the ones that are doing really well in their sales? And quite often there is a direct correlation between people selling and hitting their numbers and people and the ones who are sharing on LinkedIn. They tend to be the same person. So I quite often try to drive that that conversation. I also say to people, when you meet a new person, do you look at them on social media? And the answer 9 times out of 10 is yeah, of course. And why would you not be present on LinkedIn, for example, and sharing content? if you're doing it to other people, they're doing it to you too. And the way I see LinkedIn is like a virtual, sorry, I do always talk about LinkedIn when it comes to employee advocacy. The way I see LinkedIn is like it's like a virtual conference. If you went to a conference, you knew all your prospects were going to be there. Would you go? Because I know I would. And LinkedIn's like a virtual conference. All your prospects are there. So of course you should be on there sharing your content and driving interest in our products and services. Yeah.
So yeah, motivational speeches. That's the key thing for
them. Yeah, it's all about motivation. Yeah.
I'm going to wrap us up because we've got a short slot for this fantastic conversation. But in terms of your sort of top tip for driving engagement on social, B2B social, what's your key takeaway?
I would say the key thing to do is to lean into the unknown and just be confident in doing things that you're not used to doing. That's the key to our success on TikTok. When I first got told to do TikTok, I couldn't believe that I was going to be doing it. And now we're seeing success and it's brilliant and everyone loves us and I love that. So leaning into the unknown really enables success and it really enables the engagement as well. We've done things, for example, on LinkedIn, like sharing a PDF that looks like it's a carousel. This is before LinkedIn had a carousel features for organic posts. It got, I think, a 4% engagement rate. When the benchmark for telecoms on LinkedIn is like 0.4%, so a massive engagement rate. And just trying those things that if you think, I've never done this before, will it work? Then just try it. And what could go wrong? So people don't click it. Try a different thing. And just constantly lean into the unknown and be ready for change.
Great expression. Lean into the unknown. Fantastic. I think that's how all of us have grown in social. So, Jake, thank you so much for that. Masses of insights in a short period of time. So thank you for joining us on B2B Bites Back, and we'll certainly have you back. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So that was great, actually. I really enjoyed our conversation.
That was good. I feel like Jake's the kind of person you want to go to the pub with.
Yeah, we'll do the next one in the
yeah,
pub.
Yeah, can we?
That's right. You can do the interview. But it was really good. I thought some of the things he mentioned about TikTok, because I'm not a TikTok skeptic, but I am very, very a bit hard-nosed about, like, where's your audience? And
are you not on TikTok?
I'm kind of on TikTok because I have daughters, but other than that, I wouldn't be for the business.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really interesting that he mentioned about, you know, sort of having that presence from a marketing perspective, being around educating and entertaining, because I get that. I can see how that would start to engage with your audience.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think if you can educate and entertain people, I mean, either or, but if you can do it both at the same time, that's very powerful.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then the other one that you mentioned to me when we were talking was the window into your business bit, the sort of human HR angle bit as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that idea of like the shop front. And I think that helps shape the conversations with salespeople within companies to, you know, they're pushing for leads and things. Well, actually, you're giving people this incredible insight into your business, so make sure it looks good and it's, you know, it's
yeah, that's it. And the whole, I mean, the whole story there is quite entertaining anyway, kind of how somebody sort of threw it at him.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was like, terrified.
Oh, God.
And then said, all right, I can do this. And but the angle being, you know, we're building a presence for the future as well, and the idea that he's managed to sort of make the case that this isn't about today's customers necessarily. Yeah. It's about our futures of tomorrow.
Exactly.
Customers of tomorrow.
Yeah. No, it's so important. I think a lot of businesses don't think about the long term enough. I think they're thinking about their customers and, you know, where they're at now in their careers. In 5, 10, 15 years, they're not going to be the same customers. So it's going to be thinking about going on their native channels. They're going to be, you know, my daughter, she's on Roblox all the time. She's well in the metaverse, but she's going to be that generation where they are just so digital savvy. And it's going to be, you know, we think about AI and stuff as well. We haven't even spoken about that, but that's another, you know, with AI, you've still got to have empathy and stuff. It can't replace that human connection.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And actually Jake did throw in a stat, which is 50% of people on TikTok being Gen Z, but that also means 50% aren't, which is quite an interesting angle. That means there are a lot of people, you know, older than that, who, you know, are there and probably of the age and stature in their life where they could be customers of a B2B enterprise. So
definitely. I think the example Jake shared around Monzo and saying that he's now a Monzo customer. And even though that's obviously consumer, but he chose to go with them because they were relatable to him. Even things down to like the tone of voice spoke to him. And I think that shows the power that actually just nailing it and really understanding your audience can make a massive difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he also talked about employee advocacy, which we've mentioned before, but I thought it was really interesting to see his internal sort of sales process as well from that. So, you know, speaking to salespeople in their own language. So he's talking about the money they would make from it. From driving engagement on their social channels, and HR people talking about recruitment opportunities and that side of things. A very smart approach.
Yeah, very smart. Very smart. I think, what he was saying around, you know, don't just reshare posts as well. So for employees, it's adding an extra layer and adding their thoughts and stuff, because we talk about thought leadership a lot, and that's, it's all going to help with that and, you know, assert them in their space as experts.
Yeah. And you know, fostering a little bit of competition between employees as well, saying
always helps.
This person shared that and got this much engagement. And that goes back to the metrics piece as well. So the fact that if you're telling people how they're doing, we find this with senior execs that we manage their accounts for. As soon as they know that they're getting some traction,
oh, they love it.
They get into
it. Yeah, yeah, suddenly interested.
So, and that little quote as well around getting sales teams onto LinkedIn by saying to them, your customers are there. Mm-hmm. If all your customers were in a room, wouldn't you want to be in that room?
I loved that when he said about the LinkedIn comparison with a virtual conference.
Yeah.
I thought that's exactly what it is. People are there with purpose. Like, they are on that platform to get information, network, whatever it is. So of course you want to be there.
Yeah, that's it. So follow the money. That's the way. So, and then obviously his top tip, which I know was your favourite line.
Yes, my ears peaked. So he said about lean into the unknown to try new things. And I think that's something I'm super passionate about myself. And I love to see businesses that are really pushing the boundaries and just being ready for change. I think that's something else Jake was quite passionate about as well. And just, you know, just because you've always done something one way doesn't mean it's going to keep working. And actually you need to be pushing things and thinking outside the box, if we want a cliche.
That's it. And I think as well, it's one of the whole reasons why agencies exist actually. And this is what we talked with the team here about, is I don't really want to be selling clients risks, you know, walking into them going, right, let's spend some money and time on something that might not work. But actually, that's what we can do. We can take the risks for our clients, and that's what we do. So, you know, let us go off and test out whatever it might be and then come to you with a fait accompli. That's something we can help with, certainly. So that was Jake, wasn't it?
That was.
So what are our key takeaways? I guess that's the big question. And I'm going to jump in first because I've got a few.
Okay.
So the thing I wrote down during those interviews was like the three things you need to do to drive B2B engagement. First one, have a useful insight and get it into the right format.
Yeah.
Thing number one.
Good.
Find some advocates to promote the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. So those could be senior execs, they could be subject matter experts, they could be influencers, whoever. And the third one, use paid tactically in a smart way that you don't screw up your algorithm.
Yeah.
Ruin your organic. So
yeah, definitely. I'll add one more to that, which is just showing up authentically and with intention. I think that's key for all of this, and it's driving quality.
That should be your strap line.
Yeah,
adopt it.
Showing up authentically and with intention.
I'll put it on your business card.
Yeah, can you?
Okay, that just about wraps it up for B2B Bites back. We'll be back shortly with some B2B Bites. Get it? Shorter versions of B2B Bites back. So a little short podcast you'll be able to listen to kind of on the way to school or whatever. And make sure you subscribe and share this with all your B2B pals out there and build our subscribers. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.